Insure Me Kevin podcast, written and spoken by Kevin Knaus. The Dam Murder. Every day the water receded a little, exposing the crime scene. California was being squeezed by an epic drought, and Folsom Dam had to release water downstream. This was the same dam that was complicit in triggering the crime when it was under construction. When the water finally receded, the stucco columns of the porch pillars, along with the concrete foundation, were all that remained of the old Rock Spring house. Visitors curious to see the ever-expanding dry ground of Folsom Lake would walk around the remnants of the house. They didn't know they were walking over a murder scene. They didn't know the old man who had been shot dead, and that his body had been incinerated in a fire that ensued. How could they know or suspect? The old house foundation was usually under 50 feet of water. When the Folsom Dam project was finally authorized by Congress in 1948, the residents in the footprint of the proposed Folsom Reservoir knew that eventually they would have to leave their farms, ranches, and homes forever. It was a typical spring morning along the American River, 5 miles north of the town of Folsom in 1952. 100 years since the big gold rush that had miners swarming across the banks of the North and South Forks of the American River, this part of rural Placer County had settled into a quiet bucolic community. One family that called the area home was that of James Peter Dickinson, his wife Katie May, and their daughter Etta May. Mr. Dickinson liked to go by his middle name, Peter. 78 years old, Peter had lived through 2 world wars and the Great Depression on his ranch on the river. But in 1952, he and his daughter Etta May were facing the condemnation of their property so that Folsom Dam could flood the ranch with water to create Folsom Lake. Peter Dickinson purchased his ranch land in the historic Gold Rush region in 1918. Peter and his wife, Katie May, took out a mortgage of $2,000 to purchase the 210 acres that ran all the way down to the river. They completely repaid the mortgage to Wells Fargo Bank and the Roman Catholic Bishop of the Diocese of Sacramento in 1927. It was a nice piece of property situated for growth. On the northwest portion of the property, the North Fork Ditch cut through the land. The water canal, constructed in the 1850s to provide water to the gold mines, was now supplying water to farms and ranches like Dickinson's. There was also Rock Spring on the property that gurgled out water year-round to keep the grass green. Rock Spring literally put the property on the map. Before the North Fork Ditch was built, Rock Spring was the place where the early pioneers could stop to get a drink of water. The Rock Spring house was listed on an 1866 government land office map. There was also the North Fork of the American River on the southeast section of the Dickinson property. A man could go down to the river and fish for salmon or shoot a goose for supper. The Dickinson property had the main road from Folsom to Auburn running through it. This paved county road made it easy to get cattle to market. In addition to these amenities, the property was surrounded by beautiful oak trees and granite outcroppings, some of which that had Native American grinding holes embedded in them. In short, the area was rich in history and resources for any family to have a comfortable life and earn a living. Peter was a cattleman who still enjoyed riding through the hills in the early 1950s. Peter's daughter, Etta May, was 15 years old when he bought the property that included the Rock Spring house. Peter's wife, Katie May, had immigrated from Ireland in 1902 at the age of 20. By 1903, Peter and Katie May were married and had little Etta May. The family was not alone, as Katie May had numerous relatives in the Folsom and Sacramento region. In 1947, the Dickinson family suffered a great loss as Katie May died of heart failure. Peter was 73 years old at the time of his wife's death. That meant that Etta May, still living at home, would be the sole caretaker for her aging father. More change was to come as the Folsom Dam project was approved in 1948. Shortly thereafter, the Dickinsons would be getting daily reminders that life was changing as more cars, trucks, and earth movers passed through their property, heading north to build the dikes in today's Granite Bay area of Folsom Lake. Off in the distance, they could hear the explosions of dynamite as the dam builders blasted the large monoliths of granite that formed the American River's banks for Folsom Dam. The quiet Dickinson Ranch was no longer as bucolic as it once was in 1918. Eventually, the Army Corps of Engineers contacted Peter Dickinson about selling his land. Most of the land that Peter owned would be below the high water mark of 466 feet of elevation of a full Folsom Reservoir once Folsom Dam was built and the lake filled. The other portions of the Dickinson Ranch were also being acquired by the Army Corps in order to have access to all points around the reservoir. There was no escaping to higher ground on the property he already owned. He and Etta May would have to move. By all accounts, the prospect of moving was most stressful to Etta May. The Dickinsons agreed to a purchase price of $25,000 from the Army Corps of Engineers for the property. Once the settlement check arrived, dread and indecision overcame Etta May, and she returned the check to the government. Then the family received information that the government would be condemning the property, which meant they may actually get a smaller reimbursement amount than the $25,000 they had been offered. Etta May began to quarrel with her father over their future. She argued with the Army Corps of Engineers. Neighbors reported that Etta May was acting more erratic in the spring of 1952. On April 10th, the Auburn Journal published an artist's rendition of what the Folsom Dam would look like with the reservoir waters behind the dam. It was a subtle reminder that most of the region was looking forward to the big dam and lake to follow. There was no organized protest against the Folsom Dam project. There was no one advocating for the families who were being displaced. The government had now become the overpowering adversary to little farms, dairies, and ranches in the way of an all-important flood control project for Sacramento. The weather forecast for Thursday, April 11th called for breezy conditions with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. The temperatures would be cool with lows in the 50s and highs in the upper 60s. Overall, it was to be a wonderful spring day along the American River. A bonus for folks who wanted to be out in the evening would be the rising of a full moon over the river canyon and hills. It was on this morning, with wildflowers bursting forth on the hillsides, a spring day most suited for life, leisure, and work, that Etta May decided the end had come for both her father and herself. As her 78-year-old father ate the breakfast she had prepared for him, she picked up the family shotgun, pointed it at the back of his head, and pulled the trigger. She then poured kerosene in the living room, kitchen, and on some of her clothes tossed on the floor, and set the house ablaze. She later recalled she had every intention of dying in the fire along with her father. Death was the only way out of the dilemma she had created as she saw it. The flames and smoke were intense. Etta May couldn't bring herself to step back inside the inferno she had just sparked. At 48 years old, she saw her whole life going up in flames. She retreated to the barn, let out the animals, and contemplated killing herself. She tried to commit suicide with a shotgun, but found it too difficult to get it in place and pull the trigger. Or maybe she just wasn't ready to die. With just the clothes on her back and the shotgun in her hand, she wandered off among the oaks, buckeyes, manzanita, and grape pines that populated the hills on their property. From a distance, she watched as the neighbors and fire crew came to extinguish the house fire. The expectation from those rushing to the scene was that they would find two bodies, that of Peter and Etta May. Only one body was found in the ashes. Late in the afternoon, after the remains of Peter Dickinson had been removed, Etta May was spotted looking down upon the scene from a vantage point up on the hill behind some trees and shrubs. Realizing that she had been seen, Etta May hid the shotgun behind an old log nearby as Placer County Sheriff Charles Ward approached her. She walked down to the road but was hesitant. One of the neighbors, Joseph Mooney, whose family had homesteaded 160 acres on top of the ridge overlooking the river, came down to reassure Etta May it was fine to talk to the sheriff. After some initial false statements about the house fire, she finally admitted that she had shot her father and set fire to the house. It was apparent to the sheriff from the comments of the neighbors regarding Etta May's behavior and her inconsistent statement about how the fire started, along with her actions, that she may not be entirely mentally competent. He transported her up to the DeWitt State Hospital in Auburn for a mental evaluation. The primary focus of the DeWitt Hospital was on psychiatric disorders and illnesses. Edeme was evaluated by doctors at DeWitt and admitted into the hospital as an emergency patient Friday, April 12th. At the same time, the Placer County Sheriff was arranging for a murder warrant against her for killing her father. On Saturday, she was charged with murder and transferred to the Placer County Hospital, where she was put under observation. Etta Mae was becoming increasingly agitated at her state of affairs. She began to hit herself on the head with her shoes at the DeWitt Hospital. Upon being transferred to the county hospital, her shoes were taken from her, but she was allowed to keep her stockings. Deputy Matron Millie Roth, who was in charge of monitoring Etta Mae, testified that when she checked on her, she was wearing only a hospital gown. Previously, Etta Mae had been observed walking around her room with the stockings draped over her shoulder. But when Matron Roth checked on her on Saturday afternoon, the stockings were nowhere in sight. Speculation by Matron Roth was that Etta Mae had hid the stockings in a book that she was allowed to have in her room. Matron Roth went to supper at 4:30 in the afternoon. The last known observation of Etta Mae was of her gazing out of the window of her room. At 4:50 p.m., when Matron Roth returned, she found Etta Mae on the floor between her cot and the window with the stockings tightly wrapped and knotted around her neck. The nurses cut the stockings off and administered respiration efforts to no avail. Dr. Everett Dick pronounced her dead at 5:05 p.m. that evening. There is little record of Etta Mae Dickinson's mental health. We do know that she quarreled with her father about making a last will and testament. Unbeknownst to her, Peter Dickinson did make a will bequeathing the property to her. The question arises as to why he would hesitate leaving the property to Etta Mae unless he had doubts about her mental capacity to run the ranch and any subsequent estate. In the fog of mental duress, this might have played a role in the logic of Etta Mae to commit suicide as she, from her perspective, was utterly destitute and without a home. Since Etta Mae survived her father, she inherited the property, but now Etta Mae herself had died. There were two applications to administer the estate of Etta Mae Dickinson, one from the county coroner to become the public administrator, and another from Mrs. Mabel Brown of Folsom, who was a cousin to Etta Mae. Mabel Brown ultimately prevailed, and on June 6, 1952, she filed a public notice to all potential creditors to file claims for payment from the estate of Etta Mae Dickinson. Mabel Brown was listed as the administratrix of the estate in the legal notice. The deed records I have found indicate that the ranch was mortgage-free. The Dickinsons were all reunited as they lay next to one another, Katie Mae, Peter, and Etta Mae, at East Lawn Cemetery in Sacramento. As the earth has covered their coffins, so has the water of Folsom Lake returned to cover the Rock Spring House.